Tonight we're specifically considering the subject of remembrance. Of course, this is an appropriate day in which to do so. But we're going to read together this psalm, Psalm 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, and do his commandments. Hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Amen. We'll just have a brief word of prayer as we come to consider God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy truth that we've read together. We thank you for this privilege again in the Lord's Day evening of coming and of seeking thy face, and even again of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's gathered here tonight. We thank you for all that's gone on already tonight in the singing of the hymns and in the pieces and song. And Lord, we pray now as we come to consider thy truth, O Lord, that thou would bless. Lord, we thank you that you know each one gathered here. You know each heart. You know the need of each one. And Lord, tonight we pray that precious souls might be saved and drawn unto thyself, and your own children blessed and encouraged. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Of course, today is what is known as Remembrance Sunday. And at this time of year, we remember specifically those who have lost their lives in the world wars that have gone by. And just in preparing for this, I thought I would take a look and see, well, just how many lost their lives in the great wars. In the First World War in particular, somewhere in the region of 9 million great British soldiers were mobilized during the First World War. Of that particular number, there was a total of around 3 million casualties of war. Right across the whole of the countries that were involved in that conflict, there was somewhere in the region of 65 million soldiers that were mobilized. And by the end of that war, there was somewhere in the region of 37 million casualties. To put that in context, that was as though the entire population currently in the United Kingdom was simply to leave and to go to war. and roughly only half of them were to return. Whenever it came to the First World War, somewhere in the region of 500,000 people, or in the Second World War, 500,000 gave their lives in the conflict. It's therefore only right and proper that we should remember those that gave their lives in the ultimate sacrifice. I'm sure many of you are aware that the poppy that we wear today is celebrating its 90th anniversary. It was first in operation on the 11th of November in 1921. And it was brought into play really following the famous poem by John McCrae called In Flanders Fields, where he noticed that after the great devastation in that area, the only thing that would grow were the poppies. And he said, In Flanders Fields the poppies blow, beneath the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks sing bravely, singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. And we cannot really imagine, if we're honest, just the scale of the conflict and the scale of the casualties and the scale of what happened way back so many years ago. And even as we look in previous years and the conflicts within our own land and in other areas, we can see how so many have given their lives. It's therefore only right and proper that we have a remembrance of them. My friends, tonight, of course, I want to bring this into a spiritual context and to really consider once again those things which we must be so careful that we remember. Those things that God's word reminds us that we must remember. And that's really what I want to do tonight. And of course, the most familiar verse, I'm sure you're very familiar with it, of those things that, first of all, we need to remember in this life, is found there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, and it says, Remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And tonight, as I look among these young people gathered before me, again, there is that word especially for you. Remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth. Now, I think that's a very telling statement because it doesn't say specifically, though it's implied, it doesn't say remember the Lord. It doesn't say remember God. It doesn't say remember the great King. It says remember thy Creator, the one that made you. And yes, the world will try to give you every other alternative that you simply evolved, that you came by chance. And of course, that is foolishness, even when you look upon it scientifically. Someone has mockingly said that if you look at that view of the Big Bang, someone has said that it's really like saying, in the beginning there was nothing and it exploded. And that's almost as foolish as the argument itself. But you have a Creator, and I have a Creator. And God says, remember now thy Creator. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not once you get the exams out of the way, not until you get the career started. Now, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And perhaps you're here tonight and you're unsaved. And that is a message specifically to you because, as we well know, the Word of God is very much in the present tense whenever it speaks to us about salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And four times in the Word of God we hear those words, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And young person, if you're here tonight, that is a message for you. If you're here and you're not saved, you need to remember now your Creator, the one with whom you will one day have to do, the one with whom one day you will have to stand before and give an account of yourself, your Creator. And the Word of God says, remember him now. Again, there's many here tonight, and you're saved. And you know the Lord is Savior. And yet this verse, again, brings a message to you because it says, young Christian, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And again, I want to just bring that out and specifically bring to mind something that a piece of advice that I was given when I was about 16 years old. And I know sometimes whenever you're young, you take pieces of advice and you listen to it and you know it's good advice. But only as you get that little bit older, and I just say a little bit older, as you get a little bit older, you start to understand how true that advice really was. I was fortunate when I was at school to have a number of Christian teachers. And I can remember going to the Scripture Union, and it was my physics teacher. He came along one day to speak at it. And he basically gathered us all together and he says, "Look, here's my advice for the Christian life." And he looked at us as fresh-faced 16-year-olds and he said, "You know, at this stage in your life, you think that you're busy." And he said, "You probably are busy, preparing for exams and so on." He said, "But take it from me, now is the time for you to get to know the Lord. Now is the time to get into God's Word, to spend time in God's Word, to spend time in seeking God's face, and spending time and seeking God's will for your life." And he said, "Because simply, whenever you go to the next stage of school, you'll be busier and you'll have less time. Should you go on to university, you'll discover that you have less time. If you get a job, you'll discover that you have less time." He said, "If you then go on and get married, you'll have less time. If you have a family, you'll have less time." And you know what I found? He was absolutely right. Young people, you need to seek the Lord now. Spend time now while you're young, learning the Word of God, getting God's Word into your mind and into your heart. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The Word of God reminds us, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And that is what is good advice. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord when you're planning your academic studies. Remember the Lord when you're making your friends and acquaintances. Remember the Lord when you're choosing a partner in life. Remember the Lord as you seek out your job or your career. Remember the Lord when it comes to using the gifts and the talents that God has bestowed upon you. How could you use those in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember the Lord and how you conduct yourself in this world. Remember the fact that you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And remember him in all that you do. Remember him when you decide you're going to post something on Facebook or send out a text message. Will it bring glory to the Lord, or will it mar your testimony? We need to, as the Word of God says, to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. We need to remember as well the commandments that the Lord has given to us. Verse 17 and 18 of that chapter that we read together, it says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments." To do them. Remember his commandments. The Lord reminds us, he said, "Ye are my friends." Why? If you do the things that please him, if you follow after his commandments, get into the Word of God, in other words, know what God is saying to you in your life. Know what God is specifically saying to you day by day. Have that relationship with the Lord that you set aside a particular time every day to meet with God, to speak to him and to hear his voice, and remember his commandments to do them. Remember his commandments to do them. And you know, I was speaking to a friend of mine recently, and he said, "You know, the thing that I've noticed," he says, "the people that are going on well with God in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, he says, it just was his observation, but I believe there's a lot of truth in it. He says, they're the ones that took a stand for God when they were young. They're the ones that were at the prayer meeting. They're the ones that were doing outreach, that were seeking to witness to their friends. They were the ones that were seeking to go on with the Savior. And there is that promise there that the Lord will bless and the Lord will give mercy to such as keep his commandments and to those that remember his commandments to do them. You need to remember the commandments of the Lord to do them. The other thing as well you need to do in this life, young person, is to remember the blessings and the benefits that the Lord has given to you. And you can see that there very clearly in verse 2 that we read. Because it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. And then it goes on, and it reminds us, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, and that thy youth is renewed like the eagles," and so on. It goes down that chapter, reminding us of the goodness of God, and of all the benefits that God has given. And maybe you're here tonight, and you've been raised in a Christian home, and in a Christian family. That's one of the greatest benefits you can have. You perhaps have been raised in a church where you hear the Word of God every Sunday faithfully preached. You're here tonight among other young people of like precious faith. You have the blessing of having Christian friends, Christian acquaintances, all the blessings that God has given to you. And he's taken away your sin. Never forget what God has done for you. And God leads and God guides the Christian in every single step of life. And you know, we have so much. And I believe sometimes it's very good to take stock of where we've been and how the Lord has blessed. Many times the devil will come along and seek to try and discourage us, try to bring us down in the Christian life, try to say, "Well, sure, the Lord has never answered prayer for you. You've been praying for someone for so long, the Lord hasn't answered prayer." Or perhaps there's a certain circumstance you're going through, and it's as though you can't see the end of it. It's always a good exercise to just simply sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and simply write out all the times the Lord has blessed, all the times the Lord has answered prayer, all the times the Lord has spoken to you from his word. And then it will surprise you, as the hymn says, what the Lord has done and how the Lord has blessed you and how the Lord has led you on with himself. And you know, in the fourth place here, not only do we remember the Lord's benefits, but in a service like this, I couldn't get away without noticing the text in the front of our communion table. "This do in remembrance of me." And the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, is a wonderful time whenever we can draw near. And the Lord bids us to come to this remembrance feast that we celebrate on different occasions. And those familiar words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." This is a wonderful way of remembering what the Lord has done for you, of coming to the Lord's table. It is a wonderful way of remembering what Christ has done for us. And you know, many of you are here tonight, and I'm sure you have a boyfriend or girlfriend or vice versa, whatever the case may be. And back in my young day, it was the common practice, and I did it as well, to carry a photograph of your loved one with you wherever you went. So there was a photograph of Gail in my wallet for many, many years. Now, I don't know if you still do that nowadays. Maybe it's a photograph digitally on your phone, or it's some other particular way of doing that. But saying it in a very reverent sense, what the Lord has done through the communion feast is to give us that visual picture to remind us of his sacrifice upon the cross. It's a wonderful picture of reminding us again of the body broken, of the blood that was shed upon the cross for us. And yet one day, whenever we shall see him face to face, the communion feast will be done away, because we will see him as he is. And we will go in with the Lord to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And yet this is a wonderful way that we can remember the Saviour in our lives. There's things that we have to remember in this world. But then my mind was drawn as well to the things that God remembers. There's specific things in the Word of God that we're told that God remembers. And I want to just pick out one of those tonight. And again, it's found in Psalm 103. And it says there, in verse 14, it says, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." He knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. What that simply means is God knows you. God knows exactly how you're made up. God knows your capabilities. God knows your emotional state. God knows your psychology. He knows every aspect of you. He knows you in a way that you probably don't even know yourself. He knows you better than the way your friends, your family know you. He knows what you're capable of. And what that means is God will never put anything upon you. God will never test you. God will never try you above that which you're able. Because he knows exactly what your limits are. That's not always the case. I'm just about to illustrate this with a story, but another illustration came to mind, which is slightly off tangent, but I'll share it with you anyway. The illustration is about a father and a son. And this particular son had gone to university, and he'd done very, very well. And he'd got a first-class honours degree at university. And he was coming back home, and he was going to immediately go to work in the family business. And on the very first day, he reported to his father. And he says, "Father, I'm here, I'm ready for work." And his father handed him a brush. He said, "Very good, son, go and brush the floor." And he says, "Hang on a minute, Dad, just a minute." He says, "Don't you know?" He says, "I've been to university." He says, "I have got a first class honours degree." And his father says, "Oh, sorry, son, I forgot. Come on, I'll show you how to use a brush." So he took him outside and he showed him how to use the brush. But getting back to the point here was there was a father, the same sort of scenario on a building site, and a son came to work for him. And on the first day, there was a large beam that had to be moved. And the father took one end and he said to the son, "You pick up the other end and we'll move this." And of course, the young fellow tried as best as he could and he picked it up. And it was far too heavy for him. And in process, he hurt himself and he ended up in hospital for a number of weeks. And the father basically lamented. And he just thought to himself, "I didn't know that my son would not be able to bear that burden." You know, friends, the Lord will never give us a trial. The Lord will never give us a difficulty. The Lord will never put anything across our path that is too much for us. But his grace is sufficient to take us through. Now, you may have friends that, as they look upon you, and perhaps you're going through a particular trial, through a particular difficulty, and it's something you're struggling with, and they just can't understand it, and they perhaps say, "Well, what's wrong with you? Why can you not cope with this?" But the Lord, he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. And that's a wonderful thing. God knows exactly what I'm like on the inside. God knows exactly the burdens I bear, the difficulties I have. And he knoweth my frame. He remembereth that I am dust. But yet, you know, there's things that God does not remember. And if you turn over there to Hebrews chapter 10, you can see there one of the things that God does not remember. And I'm so glad that God actually says in his word that there's certain things that he does not remember. In Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 17, it tells me that as a Christian, he says their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And it's a wonderful thing, friend, tonight, if you're here and you're saved, to know that your sins and your iniquities are not remembered by God anymore. Yes, he knows your frame. He remembers that you're dust. But your sins and your iniquities, he remembers no more. Micah 7 says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Without trace, They've disappeared. I'm sure you've heard the story of the young boy who had a very, very bad temper. And every time he lost his temper, his father would hammer a nail into the fence at the side of the house. And after a period of time, there was a whole series of nails there. But as the young boy began to get a control of that temper, every time he was able to hold in his temper, the father would pull one out. And in the process of time, all the nails had been pulled out. They were all gone, they were all disappeared. But the marks were still there. But whenever, and they were a reminder constantly of how he had once lost his temper. But whenever it comes to God, God says there's no trace. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Augustine was one of the what we call early church fathers. And we may not agree with everything that he wrote way back in those early days, but there's a very interesting thing in the life of Augustine. Augustine, if you turn over to Romans chapter 13, you read of the verses that he was saved through. Romans chapter 13 and the verse 13. Now, just to put this in context, Augustine broke his mother and father's heart, especially his mother's heart, because he was such a wayward son. He went after every moral and immoral, I should say, vice of the day. And on one particular occasion, he heard the words of Romans 13, verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And through those verses, Augustine came to know the Savior. And there was a dramatic change in his life. A dramatic change in his life. Such was the stage that he was walking down the road one day, and one of the immoral companions that he used to spend so much time with him, she saw him from the other side of the road and she began to shout at him. She shouted, Augustine, Augustine. And he didn't even look at her. He kept walking on. And again she called out, Augustine, Augustine. And again, he just kept walking on. And by this stage she was getting frustrated, so she ran across the road and she grabbed him and she shook him and she said, Augustine, it is I. And he replied, but it is not I. And the idea was that he was now dead. The old Augustine was gone. His sins and iniquities had been remembered no more. They had been taken away from him. And the transformation was amazing. And you know, friends, tonight it's wonderful to know that our sins and our iniquities are gone. I wonder, can you say that? Can you say that your sin has been taken away? Can you say that your sin is now in the sea of God's forgetfulness? Or are you still quite happy in your sin? Are you still on the road that leads to destruction? We've looked here tonight at things that God remembers, of things that God does not remember, of things that we need to remember in this life. But I want to finish very solemnly with one point, and we turn over to Luke chapter 19, and that is things that are remembered in hell. Things that are remembered in hell. Luke chapter 19, I'm sure you're very familiar with the story. It's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And we read there of how, if we read through the story, it begins in verse 19. There was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. We read then of Lazarus, who lay at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And then we read of how both these men pass away. And we read of how the rich man, there in verse 21 it says, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now I want you to see something here at the very start. We don't read anywhere that this rich man acquired his riches through any dishonest or any immoral means. Here was simply a good, hard-working rich man who had made it through life, who had done very well for himself, but in the process he had neglected God's salvation. That was his crime. He had neglected or rejected God's salvation. The thing you notice as well is that he never once says that he wants to get out of hell. He never once asks to be taken out of hell. He simply asks for a drop of water to cool his tongue. He doesn't ask for a glass of water, a bucket of water. He asks for a drop of water. Despite all the riches he had throughout his life, that is the only thing he asks for. And as I said, he doesn't complain about his punishment either. He says that he is in torment, but he doesn't complain about the fact that he's in hell. He doesn't remonstrate and say, I want to get out of here. Because friends, I believe that this man, as he's in hell, he realizes, yes, this is where I ought to be. All through my life I rejected Jesus Christ. All through my life I rejected the Word of God. And now he's in hell. And here's the thing that really grips me as I read this chapter. In verse 25 it says, and Abraham said, Son, remember. Son, remember. And one of the greatest miseries I believe in hell is the fact that sinners who turn up in hell have a very clear memory of what they did in this life. Now, you need to remember something, that this man's body was in the grave. This man's brain was in the grave. But yet this man in hell had a perfect memory. And you know, friends, it's a harrowing thing to think that someone could actually come to this service. That someone could have come to gospel meeting after gospel meeting to end up in hell and to have perfect memory of every gospel service that they sat through, of every gospel tract that they were given, of every word of exhortation that they heard, of every prayer that their mother or father prayed for them, and to have vivid memory, and yet to realize, I'm in the right place, because I rejected God's salvation. You see, if he had have remembered his Creator in the days of his youth, he would not have been in hell remembering the opportunities that were missed throughout his life. And that is one, I believe, of the most solemn remembrances that we have in the Word of God. He had a spirit in hell, and yet he had a vivid memory of all that he had done throughout his life. And the Word of God, he goes on here in this chapter, and what's his desire? His desire is, he says, I have five brethren. It's not, I had five brethren. I have five brethren. These five brethren were still alive. And this man realizes there's still hope for them. Send someone to testify unto them, that they may come into this place of, not come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he thinks, no. Because just like me, they'll not listen to the Word of God. And I trust and pray tonight in this service that there will be no one like that. There'll be no one who will sit here and simply neglect God's salvation. That will simply allow this meeting to pass by. That will simply allow another gospel opportunity to pass into eternity. And for you not to remember now your Creator. Friend, tonight I pray that you will come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you would remember now your Creator, even as we thought of these things remembered in hell, the things that God does not remember, the things that God remembers, and the things that we ought to remember, that above all things that you would come and trust in the Savior for your salvation. Amen.